As you guessed, we're speaking on baptism today. We're going to look at baptism, and I'm sure many of you have actually already been baptized. But it's always good to hear it all again, isn't it? And Vincent asked me to speak on do we all need to be baptized? Well, of course, the short answer to that, as far as I can see, is yes. So I could now sit down. But then you might say, well, why? And so we look at why we all need to be baptized. And it's interesting that baptism features right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. In fact, before he started his public ministry, he was baptized, as we saw in the scripture reading a bit earlier. And then right at the very end of his time on earth, baptism features yet again. So at the beginning and at the end, we have baptism. So I think Jesus saw it as being important, don't you? Now, I've got a little issue here because I can just about see this without my glasses, but if I put my glasses on, then you're all a blur. So if you can just sort of bear with me, if I go wrong, it's because I can't see the words and I have to put these on. Now, John's baptism, as Vincent, I think, is going to go into in a minute, was a baptism of repentance from sin. Jesus hadn't actually died then, so it wasn't the same as our baptism. And as we all know, Jesus didn't commit any sin. He was perfect. But he chose to go down into the water and be baptized by John. And in that way, he was actually identifying with each one of us, because he now has done what he calls us to do. So he's not, when he said at the end of his ministry about people being baptized, he wasn't asking people to do something that he hadn't done. He'd done it himself. And it also says that we should imitate Christ. So that's another reason why we should all be baptized, because we need to imitate our master. And if Jesus was baptized without sin, how much more should we be baptized, because we are all sinners? And then, before he returned to his Father, Jesus commissioned the disciples, and baptism featured in that. There could have been all sorts of things that he could have told them to do, but he told them to baptize, and here's the scripture. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." And this was the beginning of the church, and baptism was part of it, and still is. They were to make disciples, and not just the Jewish people, but all nations. And they were to be baptized, but not the baptism of John. It wasn't just a baptism showing repentance. It was in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Because when John was baptizing, Jesus hadn't died. But now, when people are baptized and they go down into the water, they demonstrate that they're dying to sin. But now, they then come up again. They go down into death, like Jesus, and then they come up again into new life. And it symbolizes the resurrection, new life in Jesus. So the disciples were to teach their disciples to obey what Jesus commanded, and he said that they were to be baptized. So we can see that baptism is for everyone. It's an act of obedience. And if it's an act of obedience, it can't be an option. So then the next question might be, we said why, now when? When should I be baptized? If we want to obey Jesus, then we should be baptized. And I think it should be done as soon as we have an opportunity. The word obey speaks of action. So it should not depend on our feelings. Imagine, if you can, I hope you've got good imaginations, but you've come up against a policeman and he's told you that you've got to do something. I mean, perhaps it was that you've parked your car in the wrong place. Or, well, use your imagination. Imagine something that a policeman would come along and speak very firmly to you about something that you should or shouldn't be doing. I don't think you would say one of these phrases. I don't feel ready yet. Or, I need more time to think about it. Or, I'll do it when I'm older. Or, it doesn't feel like the right time for me. How many of you would say one of those phrases to a policeman if he asked you in his official capacity to do something? Oh, there's no hands up, so no, we wouldn't, would we? Because we know that we have to obey the law of the land. So if we know we have to obey the law of the land, how much more should we obey the command of the King of Love? Baptism is a life-saving command from Jesus. Philip, he believed that, didn't he? And he preached in Samaria so successfully that when they came to believe Philip with his good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, men and women alike were baptized. So the message of belief was followed by baptism, and it's at the heart of the New Testament. And then there's Paul. Straight after his Damascus Road conversion, and he went to the house of Ananias, Ananias says to him, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." And then another passage in Acts is the story of the Philip when he meets with the Ethiopian. And that's another example of someone being baptized once they had received the good news. And that man was reading the book of Isaiah where it's talking about Jesus, but he didn't understand it. And sometimes we don't always understand, do we? But there was Philip, and he was able to explain it all to this man. And once he'd understood, what does he say? Here's the scripture. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the Ethiopian said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the man did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So, once we've understood what it means to be baptized, what's stopping us? Baptism allows us to demonstrate our connection with Jesus and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all members of one body under the authority of the same Lord. But to fulfill his command, we're to be baptized and follow our decision to accept him into our lives. Can you imagine a man being accepted into the army of any country and he refuses to obey the commander-in-chief? Jesus is the Christian leader, and he says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands. Those who believe it, the gospel, the good news of his teaching, and receive baptism will be saved." We must take Jesus at his word if we want to be accepted by him. And then in Luke 11:33 it says, we should never hide our belief in Jesus. We should express it through our words and actions. So have you matched your confession of faith with baptism? Because if you haven't, then perhaps it's now a good time to consider that and to take action. I'll hand over to Vincent now, and he can put right anything I've said that's wrong.
Which husband here would be bold enough to do that? I'd like to acknowledge the kindness of Josh Thorne, and he made me a lovely photo there. Am I failing? Oh, thank you. I asked him for a photo of Jesus being baptized, but for some reason or other he came up with a representation. I've been trying to get my head around that one, but maybe you've got there before me as to why there wasn't one. But we are coming from that point of view that Jesus himself was baptized, and that was his first and last emphasis. Okay, I wonder who trusts me. You trust me, don't you, Paul? I won't be nasty to you. Okay. I'll go for you, Stuart and Teresa, if I may invite you to come to the front for a moment. I'll ask Stuart, and can you confirm the answer to us, Teresa? Okay. Stuart, can you remember where you were when you got married?
Yes.
Where were you?
I was in, what, the church I got married in? Sheraton Baptist Church.
Sheraton Baptist Church. Can you remember any more about your wedding day?
Yes.
I thought that would come. Is he right so far? Yes. Has he left anything out that he should have said?
No.
Good. Stuart, can you remember where you were when you were baptised?
Sheraton Baptist Church.
And can you remember who baptized you?
Yeah, it was Tim, I think. It was Tim Simpson.
Tim Simpson, yeah.
Okay, very good so far. I'm not saying any more, just trust me, all right? And you go and sit down, that's very kind of you. Les and Sue, let's have you as victims next. Who should I ask first, Sue or Les, about where they got married? Les, can you remember where you got married?
Aldington Evangelical Mission.
Can you remember when you got married?
September the 13th, 1969.
I was afraid to ask Stuart that, but yeah, okay. And can you remember anything else about the reception?
Just that it was a great time, loads of people there, and yeah, that's about it.
Is he telling us the actual truth?
Yes, I do remember. During the week, there was a lot of rain during the week building up to the wedding, and on the actual day, it was lovely sunshine. And thanks to God, he answered our prayers, and a hot day as well.
That's good. So, Les, can you remember where you were baptised?
I was baptised at Union Chapel, Betherston, by my grandfather.
And can you remember how warm the water was?
It was cosy.
Okay. Thank you, Les and Sue. I'd got a few more tricks, but I think I'll just leave that one there just to say what I'm after is for those of us who've been baptised. I don't want to ask for hands up because I don't want people to be embarrassed that they haven't been baptised and have chosen for some reason not to be. But if you have been baptised, would you like to turn to your neighbour and say how warm you thought the water was? Okay. And would you like to tell your neighbour anything else you can remember about your day of baptism? Okay. We've heard from Bernie, so we ought to hear from Mark Lamb now. Up you come, Mark Lamb. Yeah, up you come. Tell us all about the day you were baptised, everything you can remember.
So it was at Cheriton Baptist Church, so like yourself. The water was okay, it wasn't too cold. I had Gary and John Fudge baptise me, I think. Mother gave a verse, which was yeah, I knew that, but I was just, I was testing Mum. Well done, you see, because that's the important thing, that if someone gives you the verse, yeah. And no, it was just a very good time. Huh? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength.
Okay. Very good. Well, shall we give Mark a round of applause? Very good and very clear. Okay. Mel Buck, I think we should have you up here. Where did you get married, Mel?
Hythe Methodist Church.
Can you remember anything else significant about the day?
Yeah, it was a foggy, it was the 1st of May and it was foggy and it made, apparently, according to the photographer, for the best photographic conditions. It's a very special day.
You were blessed. And what can you remember about being baptised?
Well, I can remember Ali was in the pool, but I can't remember who else. And that's probably about it. It was a long time ago.
Where was it?
It was at Brockhill Lower School.
Yeah. Well done, Mel. Thank you. We all go back long enough that we can remember it being at Brockhill Lower School. Okay. I think I'm not saying that marriage and baptism necessarily can be paralleled, but it's amazing if you've been baptised that you can remember. I cannot join myself to the club of people who say that the water was okay. It frankly wasn't okay. Indeed, only the week before it had been full of moss and creatures because I was baptised in a baptismal pool that was very rarely used in Smarden Baptist Church, which no longer even exists, so old am I. And it's a building does, but the church doesn't. And I remember I was baptised by the minister who was... Oh, I suppose probably the age I am now, actually. And he got Parkinson's disease, bless him. So he wasn't actually allowed by the church to do the full baptism, but he did insist on being in the pool because it was such a special occasion to him for someone to be baptised. And I would like again to say, if you've been to a baptismal service, anybody here, if you've been to a baptismal service, are they not moving occasions? Are they not opportunities for the Spirit of God to work? A baptismal service is a special time, and I, for at least, I'm hungry for another one for SKCC. So if there are people around who are thinking, well, I've not thought about it, but I would like to really think about it, why don't you do that? Why don't you give it some real consideration? Okay, I've got a clicker thing here, and I've no idea what it's showing on the screen. Let's go to that point. That's good. I can't possibly see that screen up there, so I'm going to have to find my matching sheet here. That's the one. Okay, so Julie emphasised on this point, didn't she, that Jesus was baptised too, and he chose to be baptised. And as Judy said, he chose to be baptised because it was demonstrating obedience and righteousness. Jesus said to John in the pool, it's good for us. It's good for us for you to baptise me. Even though, as Judy said, Jesus had no sin and there was no requirement upon him to be baptised in order for that to happen. So I just want, I hope I can press this thing so that it works. Yeah, I've got that one. Okay. And that one. Because in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that Luke really bangs on quite a lot about prayer. Prayer's, you know, kind of important in the Christian life. And it says here, as he was praying, that's Jesus, as he was praying, and we note Luke's repeated emphasis on prayer, and we're allowed to do a bit of imagining. Because there's Jesus standing in the water. Now, I have no idea. He may have been baptized in that traditional English sort of way that we've got there. I believe the custom may well have been that you stand there and the chap that's baptized and he pushes you down and you go under, you can come back out. But whichever way around it is, he was praying. Now, are you getting fed up with imagining? Or would you like to do one more bit of imagining for me? Would you like to say to a neighbour, if you want to, what do you think Jesus was praying about as he waited to be baptised? I'll give you a minute to think about it. Would you like to tell someone, what do you think Jesus was praying about? Okay. What's the answer, Josie? I can you all hear Josie? Because she's given the answer that I think is spot on, or close to spot on, which is that Jesus was praying for the Holy Spirit to come. But did we have any other thoughts? Because probably he's praying lots of things. Did anyone say anything else to their neighbour? What do you think, Jeremy? What do you think Jesus was praying about? We don't, quite right.
He was praying.
Yeah, and that, of course, is the equally good answer. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what he was praying for. And as Jeremy says, the thing is that is important is that he was praying. This verse, the book of Luke, bit further on, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then the verse in the chapter that we were in, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. I don't think that I need to tell most of you what Julie's already told you, what the testimonies have already told you. I just want to somehow come into this with the flavour that, as a matter of fact, being baptised isn't the kind of end. We don't reach the point where we're holy enough to be baptised and then, like, that's it. We have attained perfection forever and a day. And no one is ever going to sin again. I'm so tempted to ask for a show of hands. But I can put my own up if I ask myself, Vincent, have you sinned since you were baptised? Yes. Vincent, have you sinned rather a lot of times since you were baptised? Yes. Is anyone identifying with me and kind of thinking, yeah, I have too? Yeah. I mean, I rather like... Richard talking about Anique's, the background to Anique's church out there in Rwanda. Kind of, I was in a church where if you became a Christian, you got baptized. That was it. The next thing I did after becoming a Christian at all was to ask to minister for baptism. And I think it happened within about two months. By the way, when I got baptized, when I got born again, I'm sorry, when I got born again, I really have no idea what the preacher was talking about. I didn't then, and I don't now really know what he was talking about. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is that a good thing or a bad thing that I've no idea what he's talking about? It doesn't matter because God was talking to me. God was talking to me so strongly that I entered that building, sullen face, arms folded as I walked, slotted myself into the furthest end of the pew where no matter who appealed for anything, I wasn't going to the front and I wasn't going to listen to anything he said anyway. And I think he was giving a lecture on the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Well, it is an evangelistic theme, but maybe not the most direct evangelistic theme you could ever think of. By the time he'd said 5 minutes worth, I was waiting for the appeal so that I could go up and give my life to Jesus. Because it's all about God speaking to us. It doesn't really signify. It's great that Mark could remember Lorna's verse, and it's great that Lorna can remember the verse she gave, and would that we could all do as well as that. But what does matter is that God's interacting with us, and we're interacting with God. And that's what happens at baptism. Now, is that true or not? You who've been baptized, did you encounter God in a fresh way at the moment of being baptized? Just give me a nod, don't raise your hands. If you've been baptized, do you feel that as on the day, did you encounter God in a fresh way? Because I'm going for a yes. I did. But that doesn't mean that within 6 weeks, I wasn't back off with my mates. People always think that villages are nice, innocent places where the boys and girls go out to play nice games and don't get up to much. But I promise you, my village was obviously an exception to most villages. And I was off out with them doing our own thing with the other boys and girls. But God had got a hold of me at that time and ever since. Now, do you know again what I'm talking about? Have you wandered off and found the shepherd will pull you back? And the shepherd pulls me back to when I was baptized. Because it's a milestone in our Christian walk. And in Jesus, we can have the same things now that he had from his baptism. We don't know, as Jeremy correctly told us, we don't know what Jesus was praying, but we do know what happened as soon as he was baptized. What happened? A voice spoke from heaven. Whose voice? The Father's voice spoke from heaven. And the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. I don't know that the Holy Spirit does always come in the form of a dove. I think the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove then to show that Jesus was going to have a peaceful, loving ministry and die this sacrificial death. So what I'm saying there is, if and when we are baptized, we have the Father speaking to our lives and the Spirit can come upon us. And I'm hoping that sometime in the near future, someone is going to be up here speaking about being filled with the Holy Spirit with that as the main theme and saying, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It can be called baptized with the Spirit. It can be called filled with the Spirit. It doesn't matter what we call it. It's what it is that counts. And the thing that happened to Jesus upon being baptized, the Spirit came upon him. And however many times we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, we need it more. We need it again and again and again and again. Are you agreeing with me, those of you who know what I'm talking about? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, may the Holy Spirit put the hunger in your heart. I want a closer encounter with God. I want to know more of the Holy Spirit. I want him in my life. Most of the things I planned to say this morning I haven't said. That's probably good. But in my heart I'm saying, brothers and sisters, we need more of the Holy Spirit. May we have more such times when actually we can actually kind of hear the Father's voice. When was the last time we could say we heard God's voice in our individual hearts? Jesus heard the Father's voice. This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. And Jesus received the Holy Spirit at the same time. What was there for him is available to us through him. Amen.